And if I laugh at any mortal thing, 'tis that I may not weep. Byron. 1. Strangers in a Strange Land. It was a cold November day when Frances left the Autumn Days nursing home after visiting her sick mother. She felt a pang of sadness that her mother had not recognized her. It had been a heartbreaking moment when she had tenderly placed her mother's frail hand to feel the sudden movement of her unborn grandchild, only to realize that it meant nothing to the old lady. The morning mist seemed to chill her every bone, and she quickly boarded the waiting taxi, oblivious to anything the driver was saying or doing. Shivering, she laid her head back against the cold headrest of the seat, thinking about the long journey back to Newcastle ahead. As the barren fields flashed past her closed eyes, she wondered what life had to offer now, after so much had happened in a land far, far away. It had been so different to Newcastle, her hometown. As the car sped on, she allowed her mind to drift along with the tones of the engine. For a moment, the noise seemed to be transformed into a louder one, like that of an aeroplane. The twin turbojet, which had been chartered by the UN with only a scattering of people on board, circled and dipped down through cotton wool clouds to emerge into brilliant sunshine. The sky glistened as the silver wings reflected the sun back onto the last remaining clouds, momentarily tinging them with all the colors of a rainbow. "Look!" someone shouted. "We're almost there. You can see the volcanoes of Vulcan and Tavurvur." "There's the harbor of Rabaul," answered another passenger from the opposite side. Frances remained seated. She had heard the pilot's instructions to fasten your seatbelts, despite the commotion. Mark, her husband, straightened his tie and clipped the seatbelt firmly into its steel retainer. They stared at one another, smiled, and squeezed each other's hands. "Well, old girl, what do you think?" he asked, turning to her as she patted her hair in place. "It's like entering a whole new world," she replied. "I hope we have made the right decision. The offer of a contract did come rather suddenly, and we have heard so many strange stories about the island," she pondered doubtfully. "Perhaps we should have stayed where we were, or even returned to England."
"Too late now, but at least it's not raining," he answered, raising his eyebrows, which made them both smile.
As the plane slowly descended, a panoramic view was beginning to form. Palm trees, coral reefs, blue lagoons, and sandy beaches. The plane circled over the coastline before the dusty airstrip became visible. The passengers strained on their seatbelts to get the best view, their faces and sighs reflecting the many breathtaking sights. Finally, the small plane touched down, and within moments the passengers were scrambling to release their constraints and get off first, as if to claim a small part of this new and exciting land. The Fairchilds were the last to leave, stunned by a blast of heat sweeping through the cabin as the door opened, hitting them straight between the eyes. "Phew!" they exclaimed simultaneously, their smiles turning to disbelief as they descended the dirty steps. The others, despite the heat, seemed to be in a hurry, scurrying towards a building that reminded Frances sharply of a wartime air hangar that she had seen on a TV program. Frances and Mark followed at a much slower pace, noticing how quiet the airport was. All they could see was a few small aircraft, similar to the one they had traveled on. Their clothes were soaked with perspiration by the time they reached the shade of the airport terminal, and feeling uncomfortable, they removed their jackets. The building stood in sharp contrast to the elegance of the one at Darwin, where they had departed from. Moving a bit faster in the shade, the couple finally caught up with the others, who were being hustled towards a spectacled man seated at a high desk. Beside him stood a tall, black, uniformed guard, armed with a gun strapped to a shoulder harness. All around the airless room were other guards, carrying guns or rifles, all very much on the alert, as though an attack from someone somewhere was imminent.
"It's very warm," Mark announced loudly, shifting his jacket from one arm to the other. "This is the cool season," one of the guards grunted. "It's only 24 degrees C and good for September."